brought to you by XMWX Satellite Weather and by Lightspeed Aviation. XMWX Satellite Weather is as vital as vision. Never fly blind again when you add XMWX Satellite Weather to your onboard electronic suite today. Come see what the latest XMWX Satellite Weather has to offer at Sun and Fun Booth C24 or visit us online at xmwxweather.com.
Hi, this is Mary Grady reporting from Sun and Fun 2010, and today we're talking with Craig Fuller. He's the president of AOPA, the biggest pilots advocacy group that we have here in the U.S., and he's just going to give us an update on what AOPA is up to right now and what they see on the horizon as challenges ahead that they're working toward. And thanks for being with us, Craig. Why don't we just jump right into it?
Great. Well, I'm delighted to be here. I actually just arrived at Sun and Fun. I was at in Friedrichshafen, Germany for Aero, and it was a great show. We got back on Sunday and been a couple days in the office and headed here. The mood here is very positive, which is good. We're looking forward to that, and I always think that Sun and Fun kind of gives everybody a boost going into the various shows throughout the year. We've begun this year actually with a sense of relief, but a full plate, a sense of relief about the Obama administration elected not to pursue the user fee on aviation, a $9.6 billion proposal that seemed to vaporize when they introduced their budget a couple of months ago. But the plate's full because we said from the beginning, if we could get that out of the way, there were a number of things that are important to work on. And probably leading that list, particularly with the administration, is NextGen. This whole question of how we modernize the air traffic control system in a way that makes sure we can utilize the equipment that's on our general aviation aircraft without imposing large costs for new equipment that wouldn't necessarily benefit us is something uppermost in our minds. We do support the modernization of air traffic control. I do think it's important that it moves to a satellite-based system, and that's what we're going to be working on really for several years. But in the near term, we're working to make sure the FAA creates approaches that allow us to use our GPS equipment. We think that's a good step. They're doing that. They're putting in the ground infrastructure, if you will, the ground receivers for ADS-B, and I think we'll begin to see more aircraft utilizing those, not only commercial air freight aircraft, but the airplanes here at Embry-Riddle in Florida now use it. So I think that's encouraging. It's being used in the Gulf of Mexico now by general aviation aircraft, primarily helicopters serving the oil platforms. They're using ADS-B with ground receivers literally on the platforms. So that's a big issue for us, very important. Avgas is very important. The EPA is moving forward in a process which is really going to require us to make some commitments with respect to the future of aviation fuel. I am convinced that avgas with lead in it will be around for I think the decade, but in that time period, we're going to have to come up with a substitute. I'm encouraged because the manufacturers of aircraft, of engines, and the petroleum companies are really working with all, we're all working together to put ourselves on that path. But we are at a point where I think we have to recognize that lead's going to come out of this fuel, and we've got to get the right alternative after that. We're concerned about growing the pilot population. The economy certainly took its toll. I've heard one of the flight schools just had their best month in years, which is really encouraging because we do want to see people continuing to fly and learning to fly and getting back into flying. So that's something that we're looking at ways we can help with. So those are some of the issues we're working on.
Okay, well, that's a lot to start off with. And if we could just back up for a second, I did have a question about the next-gen system.
Sure.
And I know there's just an item on your website this morning about one of the WASS satellites has gone down. And I know there's been concern about the GPS system as far as redundancy. And I wonder what you're thinking about that, looking forward to having people become more dependent on these systems.
You know, it reminds all of us that we do depend on this technology. And while the immediate problems are very small with this, certainly, like in an airplane, if you lose redundancy, you're at a greater threat. I think the FAA has and others have moved to make sure that we have the systems in place that we need to continue the navigation. I don't see an immediate problem there. But I think this does remind all of us that these systems are ones we rely on. We have to have redundancy. We have to have a continued commitment to to launch these satellite services, we have a team that was on it immediately and interacting with the FAA and others right away, so to make sure we could keep our members posted on what was happening. I think the immediate near-term impact maybe was in Alaska, which, of course, they don't have radar in many places, and they really do utilize these satellites extensively. So we're anxious to see either the system back online or a replacement up there soon.
Okay. Also, I was wondering about your relationship with LSA, because I know at AOPA Summit last year, you know, your sweepstakes plane is now in LSA, and that segment seems to be, I mean, they're kind of holding their own, but they seem a little worried that they're not seeing much change as far as sales so far this year. And I wonder how engaged you are with them as far as that kind of issue goes, or what you see as your relationship going forward.
Well, we really have been excited about having a Remos aircraft as our sweepstakes aircraft, because it gives us firsthand experience with these light sport aircraft. I do think the future there is very promising. I really believe that when you look at what's happening in Europe, and as I mentioned, I just came back from there, the pilot population that is utilizing light sport aircraft is really remarkably sizable. Now, part of that's because the cost of fuel and other issues have driven people who want to fly to light sport aircraft. But it tends to to bear out the premise that it's an aircraft that people who want to continue to fly but maybe don't need an aircraft for business transportation or something like that can get into an LSA and enjoy flying and continue to fly. We also believe it's going to be important as a training aircraft. That it gives somebody a new aircraft with modern but not highly complex avionics to learn in, to get the experience of flight, to solo, and all with a little, typically would be less time, less cost. And once they get to that stage, then they're more likely to continue on. Some flight schools indeed are, in fact, starting with the light sport aircraft and really taking all their students through that path or process first before moving on for a private pilot. So I do think that as the economy strengthens, we're going to see this segment do far better than it did perhaps last year.
Okay, thanks. And are there any other issues on the horizon here?
Oh, you know, there's always things that are coming at us. We've worked really hard, and I know many of your listeners are concerned about through the fence operations. We've worked really hard with the FAA to try to get them to understand how important this is to so many airports and to so many individuals. There is a balance of interest because those who run FBOs also need a livelihood. But I'm hopeful that as that goes forward, these airports will be looked at more on a case-by-case basis. I think the FAA has taken a step back to take a little bit closer look. We try to work with the facts and with information and kind of on a daily basis with the FAA on a number of issues, and this is one of those that I know it's caused some hard feelings within the community, but I'm hopeful that will get resolved. I'm also very concerned about keeping airports open and making sure that just because we had a slow economic period that we don't see more pressures on closing airports, and we want to make sure they continue to get their funding, and they are a huge national asset. To have 5,200 airport public use airports around the country is very important. So we'll work on that, and we want to. This is an election year, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that we're working very hard to get our members engaged, pilots engaged, people out to airports as we travel around with, and we invite elected officials and their staffs to come out and understand what's happening at community airports. And this whole engagement theme that we're talking a lot about this year is really designed to make sure people have a better appreciation of the value of general aviation and that they're more supportive of it going forward.
Okay, well, thanks very much for your time. I appreciate it. Again, this is Mary Grady with AvWeb. I've been talking with Craig Fuller of AOPA.
Thanks, Mary. Good to be with you.
Thank you.
Changed your mind about who makes the world's quietest, most comfortable aviation headset? Then come by Lightspeed's booth and learn about our Zulu special and the expanded trade-up program. And be sure to cast a vote for your favorite aviation charity. The top five will each receive no less than $10,000 from the Lightspeed Aviation Foundation. See us in booth D51 through D53.